Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Nope. No time for that intro, lads. We're back off to sea.
Dungeons & Junkies presents Tales of Autorvia, Episode 18, The Aftermath. Last time on Dungeons & Junkies presents Tales of Autorvia, Episode 17. The crew finally encounter Avery, only to be ambushed by men he hired to take him out, giving Avery a chance to escape. But now that the fight is over, what awaits him inside the mansion? Is Avery still here? Let's find out.
And that ends combat. You just hear a slow
I clean
clap.
My glaive in the fountain.
Yeah. You just hear a slow clap from Ulvik, who's still standing on the balcony. Most impressive.
Fuck off!
The distraction weren't long enough. And with that, he just teleports out of there.
I hurt him quite badly, it's fine.
Castle, are you alright?
Oh, I'm still dead. Should I make another death saving throw here?
Just make me one more. You get advantage on it, though, because of the helping from Reed. Stabilize. Don't like it.
Once again, thankfully Reed's right there. That's a 14.
Yeah. You kick back into life as Reed is giving you chest compressions from the back.
He's jumping on you because he's too small to do it.
Wake up!
As you just like shoot up and throw him off your back.
Ah! In the fountain.
You're nowhere near the fountain, but he just.
Would
have been better for effect, though.
Yeah, bang your head on the ground.
Well, bros.
Picasso, thank God for that. Ran, Lai, you alright?
No. Ran is not alright. Are you not seeing? Bastard is getting away.
He's already gone, Ran. Can't teleport.
So it's just going to happen again. This was all for nothing.
He can't get the gnolls anymore, though.
No, not these ones, maybe. But there is other gnolls. It's all for nothing.
It's not all for nothing.
No. You did good here, Ran.
No, Ran did not do good. If Ran did good, Avery Jr. be dead. Ran did not do good. Ran did opposite of good.
Would you rather he be dead and all those gnolls still be suffering? Or would you rather have saved those gnolls and he gets away and we kill him another day?
We will kill him, Ran.
If he's dead, gnolls not suffering anyway.
There will always be more evil in this world. There is always a worse person, a crueler person.
Then
it's why you have to do good. You have to find good in these small things, these small victories. Because bastards will always exist.
And then what is point?
I don't
know,
Ren.
What is point at all?
Ask a good person.
Is good even real?
I think so. I mean, look at Picasso. You couldn't get more good nature than Picasso.
Picasso covered in blood. Standing up, both the blood of the old elf that he crushed with his two bare hands, and then the blood of the sorcerer that he belly squashed. But for a captain, bruh, You saw what happened to me, bro, when angry bro we thought was gone. So, I know what you're going through, furry bro. And at this point, I'm going to grab Furry Bro with both hands on the shoulders. But Furry Bro, our purpose is clearly to keep trying to do better in this world. You and I don't know how long it's going to take us, but Furry Bro, we can do some good stuff, I feel like, Furry Bro.
If bad things is always happen, it is feeling like there is no point in doing good.
Well, Furry Bro, remember when we did our thing for the Queen and everything like that?
Yes.
I mean, with that, you know, we did good right there. And that affected, you know, how many people, Furry Bro? Like, especially like, as the Elder Turtle always tells me, like, every, you know, drop in the bucket adds to the entire thing. You know, you can't fucking keep building a big thing from the ground up. You know, you gotta start small. You gotta keep going. It takes a lot of water to fill a bucket. I'm sorry, I'm not nearly as good as Elder Turtle is at metaphors and such, but he was always like really fucking smart about him when he would tell him in his stories. But it was something about water and a bucket and like droplets. Like, I don't know though, but Furry Bro, we gotta keep making droplets of water.
Wait. Earth is bucket?
Furry Bro, that might be what Elder Turtle was trying to teach me way back when. Leo, do you remember that stupid metaphor? Not stupid, you know what I'm saying, Leo.
Never shut up about it. But Ran, you did a good thing here. And perhaps we can search a house, find out where he's going. End of the day, you freed the gnolls. And not only that, we know what he looks like now. So we can put a face to him, we can try and find him. It'll be much easier to.
Oh
no, I just lean into Furry Bro. And we can wreck up his place, Furry Bro.
Yes, wrecking is a good idea. Assholes is not deserving of nice things. Ron goes and kicks the door in.
roll me an athletics check with advantage.
That's my highest is 27 all in.
Yeah, the doors, doors come off the hinges. Is there just a loud bang?
If there's like nice paintings or sofas, can I just start tearing them up with my big gnoll claws?
As you walk in, you see beautiful marble hallways, paintings all on the walls, beautiful furniture. And you just nail into it all, destroying everything you find.
Reed looks slightly pained that the painting's being ripped apart. Could have sold them.
There are some...
Shut up, bastard man.
Reed, you're old. Eli might also have a bit of knowledge on it, but roll me a history check.
Eli's not there.
Reed, roll me
a staying outside to burn Powder Keg's body because he's got to stay fucking dead.
It's true. I'm inside wrecking the place up with Ran, obviously.
18.
You've just watched Ran put a claw through a 20,000 gold painting.
Sitting downstairs, can I go upstairs and try and cut some pictures out of that, maybe upstairs, and just to try and get some extra gold out of this so you can sell at port?
Make me a quick investigation check, Reed.
This nice Ran keep. While Reed does that, Ran finds a cushion with a puppy on it. This is the Ran's now.
Investigation check at 12.
You look, basic layout of the place. It's a big entranceway. You got a room to the left wall, room on the right wall, and then there's a staircase in the middle that heads up onto a balcony, and which has three rooms on that back wall.
I'm going to go up and stairs and I'm going to start searching room by room.
Any room in particular? As you get up to the top of the stairs, you got a room on the left, room on the right, and a room dead ahead.
I will go to the room dead ahead. But I'm going to just peek.
Sorry, I've got my words mixed up. There's a room on the left, a room on the right. And if you follow the balcony along, there's a room behind you.
Right.
The front and the rooms there, right.
Yeah, I'll go to that room, follow it round. I'll go to that one, but I will check beat through the keyhole, make sure it's not booby-trapped.
So you'll go into the room that faces where the courtyard was first?
Yes. Because that's where they went in from, so that would be the first place to look as well, if there's any clue as to where they've gone.
The door is shut, and as you poke through the keyhole, there doesn't appear to be any traps.
I'm going to try the handle gently, try and stay as far away from it as I can, just in case it is moving.
The door is quite heavy as you start to push it open.
I use Mage Hand to help
or anything. Yep. Everything in his house is expensive. The doors don't even creak as they open.
Jesus Christ. Okay, so with the door now open, I'm going to carefully step inside and have a look around.
Yeah, this is clearly his office. The first half is got a bar on the left-hand side, and then there's a couple servers on the right. And at the end, there's a big brown desk, imported wood. And behind that is the balcony where he was standing on.
Okay.
There's a few papers on there, on the desk.
Okay, Reed will start looking through the papers.
Okay, so the papers don't give much. Most of them are just bills and tracking numbers of stuff. You do come across one interesting thing. It says the Horizon Poison. As you look over it, it says 250 doses to be kept in the warehouse. And underneath, at the bottom, it says Destination Departure for Lola.
Okay.
The date is dated 2 days ago. This letter was signed.
Okay. Is there anything else of note in the office?
As you look around, you do see behind the desk, there is a safe with an 8-digit code on it.
Okay, can I try opening it?
Fuck me, 8 digits. What would a roll for working out digits be? Obviously, it's going to be a disadvantage.
Well, I'm guessing I could maybe look for which buttons have been pressed more frequently, and then...
Is it a digit keypad, or is it a...
Yeah, it's like an old, like a turn... like a tourney padlock, where you
like
turn
a,
the...
Like a bike lock, okay.
And there's eight different circles on it.
Probably intelligence.
Yes, just straight intelligence check. You're just picking locks, but working out codes is completely different, especially when they're 8 digits long. It would be a disadvantage.
Okay, in straight intelligence check, then that is 13. Then a disadvantage.
That's not high enough. You do hear the first number tick as you hit 5, but the other numbers just don't seem to get that tick that you're after.
Okay.
So you got one of the digits.
Have I got anything in my thing which could get me into a safe?
I don't know. I mean, you had a compass which you didn't have originally, so who knows?
I forgot. I've got a 500-pound torto outside. Could just break the safe in half. Is the door to down? Picasso downstairs, or is he outside still?
He's in the main hallway with Rand trashing the place.
Okay. Picasso!
He's not going to hear you under the destruction that's going on downstairs, to be completely honest with you. I mean, if he wants to try and hear, he can make a perception check at disadvantage, but other than that, he's probably not going to hear you from his location.
I think at this point, yeah, I'm raging it downstairs with Ran wrecking the place up, not listening.
Picasso, Ran is having idea. You're seeing couch? Ran is seeing... In picture book that Quinton is showing Ran, there is people on hill with snow riding down hills and trees. We should take sofa to top of stairs and ride it downstairs. It'd be fun.
Furry bro, look at me right now, furry bro.
Yes.
You are my captain forever, furry bro. That is the greatest idea I have ever heard, furry bro. And I grab one side of the couch.
Grab the other side.
Can I hear all this, by the way?
I'm
on the balcony when he shouted down.
Yeah, you come down to the balcony and you just see Ran and Picasso walking up the stairs with a sofa.
Words do not come out of Reed's mouth. He just can't believe what he is seeing at this point. At this point, he sort of wants to cast Grease, but he doesn't. Reed's not going to.
Reed, come ride the couch with us. Ran's called you by your name. You have to now.
I will, Ran. Just seeing it after that, I've got something I need Picasso to take care of for me, okay?
Picasso will do that. Ran trash upstairs.
You can trash upstairs. I've searched everything important apart what's in the safe. So, okay, I will come with you onto the couch. Fine, this is going to be bad, isn't it?
I have one health point. Yes, just because I was brought back from the dead, so.
Picasso, you can have half your health back.
All right. It's probably a good idea.
Are you sure it's going to work on this stairs, Ran? It's not going to work properly. Let me help with that.
Good point. Ran starts snapping the legs off the couch.
Oh, God. Now it needs momentum, so I cast Grease on the stairs.
This is good thinking.
Master Bro, you should probably be in the middle once again. I think it probably is probably the same. Or maybe the front, in case something real bad happens.
Can I hide in your shell, Catherine?
No, Master Bro.
You wouldn't fit in the
shell. Yeah,
is it not the equivalent? Sorry.
My skin doesn't fold in that far, Bastard Bro. I don't know how you think turtles work, but it definitely does not work that way.
Okay, that is fine.
It's not a TARDIS inside my shell. I'm a turtle.
It'd
be the equivalent of trying to hide in Picasso's underwear, basically. If he wore any.
I love that. I'm a turtle, not a TARDIS.
So you're sliding down the stairs on the your sofa sledging down the stairs.
Yeah, on a grease staircase.
Okay, as the as it bounces down at a ridiculous amount of speed, I need the three of you to make me a strength saving throw.
This is awesome, bros.
Who's where, basically? Who's at the front, who's in the middle, and who's in the back?
I'm the heaviest, so I definitely should be in the front for the maximum amount of momentum.
Ran's just in the back, hands in the air.
Eat in the middle. So what did everyone...
I'm in the back, then.
You're in the middle.
You're in the middle.
Okay.
So you better hope that Ran didn't roll low.
No, I got 16 plus 8.
I only rolled a 5, but thankfully I get plus 7 to my strength saving rolls. So it's still a 12.
Reed?
That's a great one!
Minus one. Zero.
I'm excited, so...
Zero!
The stairs go down. You get to the bottom of the sofa. And Reed, you go shooting out and sliding along the floor as you slide out next to the steps.
Oh.
again.
Oh. As this is all happening,
Eli. I was like flying out the door, and Eli just seems to get flying back.
Yeah, you just see Reed slide out as Leo is helping you prepare Powder Keg's body to burn.
Slowly rotating in the grease that's left over.
He just looks up. What the fuck are they doing?
I don't know.
This is what we call shore leave. Now, if you don't mind, I am needed back on the couch.
He's talking to Leo.
returns upon the stairs.
You have some patience to put up with them. As much as I love my brother, I couldn't work with him every day.
Really sure why I'm still here, honestly.
Still. I just want to say, I know Ran's down about all this, but she's done a good thing here.
The three of them are good people.
just keep an eye on them. I know the halfling's had enough experience, but he's not very mature, is he?
I mean, they're getting there. We've been through a decent amount by this point. I mean, they all matured a hell of a lot in the 48 hours I was away.
I love my brother, but I sometimes don't think he realizes how bad this world can be. Some areas are lovely, but other areas are just filled with people that would kill you over a single copper. It's not nice.
He got a glimpse of that in New Atlas. I think that's where this anger of his has come from.
He always was the fiercest, despite being the youngest.
He's a good man, I just don't think this world... The three of them are good people, but this world is not made for good people. And I don't think they're going to realize that.
Maybe once the war's over, things will fix itself, but I think we're a long way off that yet.
There will always be evil in the world, whether there's a war or not. And I'm proof of that.
I must admit, I didn't expect to see Powder Keg. I heard of his death, but...
Yeah, apparently the pricks keep bringing him back.
I mean, looking at him now, I don't think he should come back again.
Well, that's why I want to burn him. Don't give them anything to work with.
As he does that, he unhooks his last can of oil thrown over to you.
I kind of focus and light my sword on fire. I'm like...
Yeah.
Make sure none of them come through the door, because they're probably going to... If Reed comes sliding out again, he's going to slide straight into the pyre.
Yeah. I'll head in there and see what they're up to. Leave you to this. And he heads off to the house as you light the body.
I'm just going to stare at the smouldering remains of Powder Keg.
Yeah. You stare... Yeah, you just stare at this body as it lights again. Or in that the same man that just ruined everything is dead for good.
They're all having fun inside, and Elijah's like,
ah! Going back into the house, Reed, you just about walk back in as... What, Aran and Picasso doing the sofa again, or...?
Oh, hell yeah.
All the times.
As many times as we humanly, and by human I mean totally and nolly can.
You get
until
back
the sofa breaks.
Yeah, you see him carrying this absolutely mangled sofa back up the stairs that looks like it's not going to do
one
well
more time.
Run.
One more time.
Can you, Ram Picasso, can you two make me dexterity saving throws because he greased the stairs?
I can cancel it, but I wasn't back in here at the time, so.
That's a 23 all in.
That's another 12. Nope, a 10. Yep. Sorry, that was a 10.
I better see what a saving throw on my breeches, anyway.
What is the saving throw, Reed? That's a good question.
It's 12.
More than 10.
Picasso,
he goes
as your foot connects with the grease, you just slip face first into the sofa, pulling it down the stairs with you.
Whoa!
Reed, maybe a dexterity saving throw is
Picasso
comes flying at you.
Just
jump out the way as Picasso, you go flying out the door of the sofa, crashing into the fountain. As the water just goes all over you. Like, you sort of jump out your skin as you hear the fountain just collapse. And see Picasso.
Trying to have a fucking moment here, and all these bricks are just coming sliding.
Yeah, you can see Picasso in a heap of a sofa on top of him.
Whoa. Oh, what's up, angry bro? That's a cool bonfire. What's going on, bro?
Oh my god, the look.
Just go back to your fun, Picasso.
If she hasn't come sliding out yet, can run. Come, like, sliding out on her belly doing slow circles.
Yeah. You You slide up and your whole front like washed as the fountain water gives you a mini bath.
You should make slide on shit.
Furry bro. Once again, captain forever. Captain forever, furry bro.
Yes, this is why Ryan is captain now. For having ideas like this.
Furry bro though. Angry bro seems to be upset. I don't know if you want to talk to Angry Bro. They seem to be out here by the bonfire by themselves.
Ran kind of takes a few cautious steps up. Probably still covered in water and grease.
And sofa bits.
You start shaking your fur near me, Ran, we're going to have a problem.
No, Ran only saves that for annoying people. And you are not looking like you wish to be annoyed.
Don't worry about me, Ren. This, you're the captain here.
But isn't job of captain to care about others and make sure they're okay?
I mean, the other captain hasn't.
Yes, well, that is why Ren is captain.
Matt's face for the camera. The record is hilarious.
I mean, it's kind of accurate, unfortunately. Reed is a bastard.
I just have a lot on my mind, Ryan.
Is it because of powder cake?
It's not just that. I mean, I'm furious they decided to resurrect him just to be a dick.
Ryan was not even knowing people could be dead and then not dead until you and powder cake.
Eli's face kind of goes dark at the comparison.
It's not really a comparison. She doesn't really understand.
Yeah, Ran doesn't understand, but Eli's like...
Same thought crossed Picasso's mind as well. Didn't say it out loud. Just didn't have a chance.
Ran is not understanding many things, though.
You're new to the world.
Hmm.
There's nothing wrong with that. I'm just... If I'm honest, I'm thinking about... where I fit in with all this.
Hmm? Ran tilts her head.
Well, you and Picasso are an undying duo.
Yes. Ran is very happy to know Picasso.
I'm glad you two found each other. And Reed, as much as he's an idiot, he is doing all he can for people.
Hmm.
And sure, he was a red brand in the past, and I despise that. But the three of you are good people. The crew is good people. I don't think I fit under that barrier.
Not everybody is all good. We are killing people. That is making us not all good. That is making us some bad.
But you don't enjoy it.
There is some satisfaction in taking out people who have hurt Knowles.
But not when it's just random people. Random innocents. I've always been a dark person, Ran, and I think when I died, I lost a lot of what was good.
Maybe is just Ran not understanding, but when Ally was dead, Picasso was very different. Maybe people dying is changing people. Picasso was always sad and angry.
I know. But he had you guys. You guys had each other. You could relate to the loss of someone you cared about. There's not really anyone who can relate to literally dying and waking up in a place you don't understand.
Ren is not dying firsthand. But Ren is seeing many others dying. When Ran was slave, no? When Knowles is old and not useful, they is taken to old barn and burned. So, maybe it's just Ran not understanding. But
I was trying to think the words. Perfect. She knows what she wants to say, but the thing with Ran is she doesn't really have the language skills to portray complex ideas.
Ren is thinking sometimes, although Ren is very angry at people like Avery Jr. and he is deserving of the deaths. Most people is some bad and some good. Ren is learning that.
I think it's... For me, it's at what amount of good and what amount of bad does it become too much? Because you guys have a good balance of that anger and that hate, but also that kindness and that compassion. I've lost a lot of that. That's missing. It's gone. It was ripped out of me. Do you remember I showed you that brand I have?
Yes.
I didn't get that for being a good person.
I know it's not solving problem, but Ren is thinking Ally is not a bad person. But Ren cannot change what Ally thinks. Only tell what others are thinking. And Ren.
Thank you, Ren.
And gives Ally a gentle head pat, because Ren likes that, so she assumes other people like that too.
Ally gives cautious scritches. You can carry on with your sofa surfing. I'll keep guard.
But if Ally wants us, we are just inside.
I'll shout. No worry.
Ren goes back up towards the manor house, but she does stop and check over her shoulder once on the way.
As Ren walks in, Reed walks out and senses the mood and but the grimaces slightly. Now may not be the best time, Ally, but I did find this upstairs in Avery's office. I hand the note saying about the horizon poison.
How many days sail is it from here to Lola, roughly?
Oh, Christ. About 7-8 weeks, depending on the wind. But this is a... As you look over it, it's a note for storage.
As in it's still in this warehouse?
Yeah, taking a quick glance over it, you can see that it's a storage note.
We can check the warehouse on the way out.
Because if that's the stuff they were planning on turning all the half-Indian Lola into, we indicate himself, if we can find an alchemist at some point...
Wait, you think that's Riley's stuff?
It's too much for Winston, surely.
Yep. The shit never ends.
So I'm saying we could maybe take some of that with us, a little bit, to an alchemist.
Take a portion and bring the rest.
Exactly. Because that way we can find an antidote and I'm not going to be back to being my normal halfing self, potentially.
Is there anything else in the office?
No, well, there's a safe, but I can't get into it.
Picasso!
Oh, I went back inside earlier. Like, after I told Reed to go talk to you, I was feeling not, I was all greased up and a little concussed from slamming into the fountain, so I kind of just staggered back inside right after I told them to talk to you.
Go find Picasso. He'll help you with it.
He's hoping he doesn't plow into me. We went back inside, leaving Ran to...
Ran's gone back in.
Yeah. Words now. I word good. Reed head back inside, leaving Ally to further desecrate.
That's her various broken bones.
Yeah. Reed shouts as he walks through the door. Picasso, you about, buddy?
Anger, bro. Right? I'm right here. And you see to your left, he's just kind of leaned against the wall.
Holding half a sofa, because it snapped in half at the fountain.
He's holding the sofa, some rubble in his shell. Still, like, the water washed away some of it, but there's definite still, like, blood stains all over, just, like, one eye open. What's up, master, bruh?
I just fell the grease on the stairs. I've got something I need your help with. There is a safe upstairs which I need to get into because it may have some information about where that bastard went to, and we can hopefully can track him down.
I drop the sofa and I give a half-hearted salute. Aye, aye, not Captain Bastard, bro. Lead the way.
Reed leads the way back to the office.
I do the army crawl kind of thing up the stairs. where, not like full on dog, but you know, like I'm leaning forward so I make sure I get myself up the stairs.
Yeah. You get to the top of the stairs and you can see the, well, two doors have been opened. As you look to the right hand side, Leo is in what appears to be a library going over books on the wall, and you can see the direction that Reed's pointing in, being the opposite side of the balcony.
I point to Leo. Hey, what's up, bro?
Hmm? Yep, all good. Just looking for clues.
Right up, bro. Like it. I'm doing something for Bastard, bro, right now. If you need anything from me, though, bro, you know who to call.
Isn't it about time you went to bed?
Oh, I gotta do this thing for Bastard, bro, real quick.
Yep, alright. Just get your head checked before you go to bed.
Alright, right. Aye, aye, bro.
We'll make sure that he, we have a medic take a look at him before he gets to bed.
Alright.
Lead the way, Bastard, bruh.
Reed leads the way back to the office.
Ran, what are you up to while this is happening?
Sniffing around. Find a bedroom.
Yeah, you find the bedroom. It's spotless in here.
Are there any hats?
Let me think. Would he actually even wear a hat?
Everyone needs a hat.
There is one top hat. Something like a head mannequin.
Oh, fabulous.
Is it disgusting? Like white cheap velvet or something?
It's a black one with a white velvet ring on it. It's very expensive though. Just, you can tell that by looking at it. Everything in this house is expensive until obviously Ran and Picasso destroy it.
Ran puts the hat on.
This hat makes you like 7'3".
Yeah. It's a very small top hat. That's a 3-inch tall top hat then. Ran's like 7 foot tall. Is it one of those tiny little fascinator hats rather than a full sized one?
Yeah, given its size, it's not like Professor Layton style top hat. It's just a
reminds
small
me of a puzzle.
You're wearing that for wedding, Alex.
Don't ever make me visit Professor Layton again.
Ran starts
allow you to desecrate Professor Layton.
I like Professor Layton.
Oh,
exactly,
God,
that's why
puzzles.
I will not let Alex desecrate it.
Some of those puzzles.
Yeah, bad Get times. Ran starts rootling through the drawers to see if she can find anything shiny. Not because it's valuable, but because it's shiny.
You find a locket. It's Ooh. Shiny with a really pretty ruby in it.
Ran is liking this. Her neck is probably too thick for chains, so she puts it on
one
ear.
Yeah, it's far too thick, so you just pop it on one
ear. Ran is having earring. Probably pull the covers off the bed just to be a dick. And stamp on them a bit.
Yeah, you pull off the beautiful red covers and stamp on them, leaving dirty footprints on them.
Maybe shred the mattress up a bit.
Yep, shredding the mattress.
Do that thing where you leave something stinky, like, embedded under the mattress, and then they can't find where the smell's coming from.
Oh, if only Ran had some, like, fresh prawns or something to leave in that. Then they'd go off and it would smell horrible. Yeah, after Ran's finished desecrating the bedroom, she will go and find the others, all dressed in her new attire of a top hat and a locket over one ear.
As you leave the room, you see Leonardo in the library dead ahead of you, or you see the other door open down the end of the corridor.
Go to the library. Might be some books Ran can read.
Alright, we'll come back to you shortly, Ran. Reed, Picasso, you get into the library? You get into the office where you see all the beautiful furniture, the bar inside, and the desk at the end.
I indicate the safe to Picasso.
Yeah, this is a massive safe. Looking at it.
It is, isn't
It's about 3 foot tall and about 2 foot wide. It's quite a big safe.
I need to get into the Picasso, and I'm not strong enough. Can you help me?
Bastard, bruh. You called the right turtle, bruh.
Before you do anything with Picasso, Reed steps outside and closes the door.
Just to check, how is Picasso on his feet at the moment?
I'm still pretty steady on my feet. It's just the one eye.
All right, so we'll just call this we'll just call this a regular attack roll then. Okay. If you're not too bad.
That is a 16.
Yeah, you just, as you hit it, the pressure just launches your arm back. You feel like a twist in your shoulder as you leave a fucking great dent where the latch is.
Well, Sif, I guess you think that you've bested me. But you are, how you say, wrong, bruh. And I would like a flurry of blows to save door.
And this is why I stepped outside and closed the door.
Lush is outside hearing bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, all you hear is bang! Enough to all but break glass with the force. Reed, as his fist keeps connecting, as his fist connects the first time, you just see sparks come off the safe. You know, it's a still object, you hit it. Just roll me damage, because the safe does have HP.
This is my 2d8s then?
Flurry of blows. Are you just using flurry of blows, or are you using an unarmed strike as well?
Oh, I'm just going to use an unarmed strike as well, so...
Oh yeah, so then it's 3 strikes.
Alright. I'm not in a rage, so it's only 10, 21, 30 points of damage.
Yeah, as your fists keep connecting and sparks go flying off, the safe door eventually breaks and just falls flat.
Faster, bruh! Done. And with that, I just fall over. As Picasso is prone to do in these situations after extreme exhaustion, I just pass out right there on the floor.
Picasso, roll me a d3. So obviously just a 4 counts as a 3.
That will be a 1.
Okay, then you take 1 point of exhaustion. Reed, as the smoke clears, you see a handle to a sword and another letter.
I take the handle, stow it in my backpack, and I read the note.
As you, like, open the note, the words are there just for a second, but they just seem to disappear on you. The words just vanish.
Dear Reed, you suck. XOXO.
Right. Is it like the is there any indentations in the paper? Can I try and like do like a chalk rubbing on it or anything?
There's no like physical marks on it, so you're not really sure. The ink is obviously magic in property. There are people who can decode it, but that is slightly beyond the
level. Can I use comprehend languages?
I mean, the ink's invisible, so I'm going to say no.
Okay.
Haha, he thought ahead of you.
However, also, as the dust settles, there is a sword hilt.
Yes.
In there that looks a bit like the rapier you use. Just a hilt, though.
I take the hilt.
Yeah. As you hold it, a white blade protrudes after a couple seconds, eventually forming into a proper steel blade.
Oh, God, and you get bloody Voltron Bayard.
And you get the Rapier of Misty Force. So this Rapier gives you a +1 to attack rolls to hit, and +1 to damage. And... you also get a +1 to AC as it seems to cover you in a invisible shield. As well as that, this sword has 3 charges to cast Misty Steps, which you regain one charge per long rest.
Lovely. I sheath my new rapier.
Okay. So that is your item now.
Okay, I head back downstairs. I take the note paper with me just in case someone gets a coat later.
As this is happening, we go back to Ran and Leonardo. Ran, can you make me a perception check?
One moment. That is a 14.
As you look around this library, as you get to the left-hand wall, you smell damp and almost feel a draft through the wall.
Can I tap against the wall?
Through the bookcase. Sorry, I should have been more specific. Yeah. The bookcase feels like a normal bookcase, but as you tap it, unlike the other bookcases, it doesn't shake. It's all but like it's been bolted to the wall.
Sorry, so is this the one I can smell the damp from behind? Is that one? Did you say that was the one that was bolted?
Yeah.
Can I try ripping it?
As you pull against it, it just doesn't seem to move. Books fall off. A couple books do stay on the shelf, but the majority of the books do fall.
Can I swing it over the Might of Tesla's?
As Leonardo just stepped out of the way, as you full on swing, you all hear this, like included, a massive great bang from the inside of the house. As a book that looks a bit more plastic than the rest of them falls off, and the bookshelf swings open, revealing a staircase going down.
How far down the staircase can I see? Because I've got 100 foot of dark vision. I'm assuming it's dark.
Yeah, your vision gets most of the way, but then it does black off near the end.
What does it smell like down here, aside from the damp?
Water. It's got like a old water smell to it.
Is Leo still in the room?
Yeah, he's just surprised. Huh. Didn't see that coming.
Maybe we should tell others.
That might not be a bad idea. Do you want to go get him? Or should I?
Is it you? Ran says, already taking a few steps in.
Or I'll go get him. Reed! Alai! Picasso!
Reed.
We found something.
Reed on his way down to the stairs anyway, so he's headed straight to the library from where Shannon's coming from.
Yeah, you see Leonardo step out of the room and shout that.
I walks in like,
Picasso drags himself like to the doorway of the office.
Wait, here is it. As Picasso drags himself along the marble floor.
Eli's just walking slowly behind Picasso.
What do you need there, bruh?
Ran found a secret passageway.
Cool, bruh. I pass back out.
Is Picasso okay?
He just hit his head. As tortoises we do all the time.
He shouldn't be asleep, then.
We should wake
basic
up.
Basic healthcare.
Leonardo will cast Cure Wounds on Picasso. So you gain 1d8. What's his wisdom? You gain 10 hit points back.
If Picasso doesn't come to, I just get right next to his ear and go, Ran's in danger!
Picasso does come to, but then as Eli leans forward and yells that, immediately hops up and looks around, like, full-on battle stance. What's up, bros?
Secret staircase.
Alright, I guess we can go do that, bruh. What was I just doing, bruh?
I look at the trail he's left.
A lot. You're very helpful.
Oh, look, Leo's still here, bruh. Last thing I remember is going down those stairs on that sweet-ass couch sofa. Bruhs.
Yes, and it looked rather fun, but given the state you're in, I wouldn't do it again.
Oh, bruh. I'm gonna find another couch in a minute. Oh, where's Ran? Let's go find Ran, man. I gotta get Furry Brown me down them stairs again.
Yeah. You get there and you get to the library and see that Ran's gone down a couple steps of these large hallway that leads downstairs. All the walls are still rocky. Like, they haven't been smoothed in plastered or anything.
Wait on for it, bro, Captain.
Yes, Ran is thinking we should maybe be shush.
Aye, aye, very bro, Captain.
And Ran...
You take up the back, Picasso.
Angry bro, always thinking.
Ran carries on slowly doing her best to be shush.
Leonardo does go behind Picasso because he knows he's not in the best condition, so if he passes out, he can catch him. So he will be crushed. Yeah. You eventually get down there, and it leads you to a small hallway that has two big double doors.
I sneak over and press my ear up against the door to see if I can hear anything.
You don't hear anything apart from running water.
Does it smell any different down here now?
It just smells old and damp.
Yuck.
Yuck indeed.
Alad, is your magic having anything to see through door?
I can't at the moment. I'm out of juice.
Ah. Magic is juice. Okay.
Magic takes a lot out of me. I'm not used to it.
Ronald's thinking magic is everything.
Could get the rogue to pick the lock. Or creep open the door.
I'd be happy to pick the lock for you.
Shh, whispering.
As you know, I am whispering.
There is no lock on this door. It's just two big, wide doors.
Reed is smallest, so maybe should have Luke. He will be less noticeable. And that is not Ran being mean, that is Ran stating objective fact.
Reed pushes at the doors.
Yeah, you push at the door and it doesn't budge.
Tortles, would you mind?
Eli sighs and shoves the door open.
It still doesn't budge. You quickly realise that they've barricaded it from the other side.
Why didn't you say so?
Well, I mean...
Can I heat up my sword and, like, cut the hinges so the doors fall outwards?
Yeah, sure. It's wood that just happened. So as you heat up your blade, the door both... The first door doesn't go... And then as you cut the second door, it just falls over, and you see that they put a beam, like, between them. As
door is open.
Beam held both doors in place.
For the record, that was me, Hass, Sathna DM, that was Reed actually saying, why didn't you say you were locked?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, you didn't actually, you just pushed on a door, you weren't going to get much.
That's fair.
Realize, like, can't have a locked door if there is no door.
This is true. What do we see?
You see a mini underground port. It's completely empty. The door that goes out to the open sea has been opened, and whatever was docked here is long gone. But it's like a mini dockyard, basically, underground for a small ship.
It's similar to the one we saw under New Atlas.
Not on the same level. This is a lot fancier, but it's not on the same sort of size. It's the ceiling's only about 10 foot tall. It's quite small in here. Just a few supplies here and there, but that's about it in here.
Is this how Avery Jr. escaped, maybe?
Don't. I think he got... Because teleporting short range, he wouldn't have been able to go that far.
But what if he teleport down here and then make escape while we are busy?
We'll ask the crew on the ship if they saw any boats leave.
Bastard.
Because I left a few of them on watch. Those of them that weren't coming ashore with us.
When we look into the water, can we see to the bottom?
Not quite. You do see glows in the water, like there's some electrified fish, though.
Maybe Ren will not go swimming.
Don't eat the fish.
An eel Ren. Just puts its head out before going back under.
Ren eats the fish and turns into a pom-pom. Ah, fuck.
Don't think we're going to find anything else here.
Ran sits down like a sulky child.
Shall we go and find that warehouse?
We should. Ran, we will find him and we will kill him. We will kill him.
Maybe. Can we bring Avery Jr. back to life when we kill him? He deserves many dyings.
Well, take that one up with a lie. I think that she may know someone who can know someone that can sort that out, maybe.
Eli full-on glares at you for insinuating that.
Ah, Reed, you must learn to be more sensitive.
What kind of fucking person do you think I am? Yes, I kill and torture people. Doesn't mean I resurrect them to kill them again. I'm not a fucking necromancer.
No, the thing you did, maybe you know someone who could do that.
If I knew anyone like that, I would have murdered them.
Mikasa, what is necromancer?
Hurry, bro. I don't really know either. Elder told her never talked about no. Whatever, necromancer, bros.
It means when you bring someone back from the dead.
Oh.
So technically the warlock, technically my patron did necromancy. Because I was dead. Powder Keg was kind of a worse version of that. Because he didn't come back entirely.
Gnolls in pit, can they be necromancied?
Depends how long they've been dead for.
Their bodies is not good anymore. Ran flattens her ears.
Even if they were viable, I don't know enough necromancy. I don't know any necromancy, really.
So are we going to a warehouse?
Yeah, we found a thing saying that they've been storing poison, like some kind of poison, like the stuff that turned Captain Bastard, well, ex-Captain Bastard, into a goblin. And they were going to send it to, you remember Lola?
Yes.
They were going to send it to there, where all the halflings are, to like make like an army.
Why do they want an army of goblins?
I don't know, Riley's weird.
Riley the bastard who decided to blow up Auntie Tentrix's bar. For fun.
You got barred.
Let's not go into the horrors that Riley has inflicted upon people, otherwise we'll be here all day.
Indeed.
Shall we go back to ship then?
We go to the ship via warehouse, yes.
Maybe it's best if we go back to Britannic then.
Aye, aye, Captain Furrybrow.
Indeed, Ran.
Okay, so at the pace you go, it takes about half an hour to get to the warehouse. But you see the guy that Eli dealt with lying on the floor, just black veins all across his face. He's heavily bled from the eyes, and bugs have started to fly around him.
You.
As you can see, the sun slowly protruding from the water. As the sunrise just about starts.
Go on then, halfling, or goblin, or ex-captain. I don't know what to call you, just...
Reed, heads into the warehouse.
Yeah. Let's see there's about. Sorry, Hugh.
How much is it? How much is inside here?
Yeah, as you walk in, it's completely full. There's about 20 crates all lined up.
How can I open one of the crates and just take one sample bottle out?
Yeah. I'm not going to make you roll for it. It's a bit hard, but you eventually get it to pry open, and you just see an absolute heap of silver canisters with about an inch-long needle protruding from the top of them.
Okay. I snap the needle so it can't be injected into anybody, and then take the canister.
Right. Yeah, it's about... it's about the size of the average pint glass they use for the weird people who want beer instead of rum.
Okay. Reed leaves the warehouse with it in hand and then says, I've got all I need. Everything else in that warehouse can go to hell.
Verebra, don't look at what we're about to do here.
This is what it is called, but a hell of an explosion.
I'm going to make it a bit further away.
Yeah, because... yeah, so that's what I was thinking, yes. Maybe we should, once we're heading out.
Towards the ship, I'll sort this.
Okay.
Leonardo grabs the last bottle of oil from his pouch, looks down at you guys, and assuming that this is flammable, what I'll do is I'll pour it to the first container and then make a run for it as I light it. So you probably want to step back. Unless any of you want to help.
I go to the ship.
Yeah.
Love you, bro. Yeah,
I was going to say, the ship isn't actually here, but they've left a rowboat for you.
I go to the rowboat.
Yeah. Leonardo puts down the oil and gingerly lights a match and throws it onto the oil as he sprints away as fast as he can. Travels under the door.
And then just walking like next to him at the same speed.
Yeah. And then you just hear a fucking great explosion as all the windows smash from the side and flames protrude out, at least traveling 30, 40 foot high. Very flammable. Then.
Ran flattens herself to the floor of the boat.
Told you, furry bro, don't look. It's all good though, furry bro. We're good.
Tyler's not getting us.
Right, furry bro.
About half an hour passes as you eventually make it back to the ship. They hoist the boat onto the spare holder for it and hook it into place. So you do have a second lifeboat now. It's good to see you all made it back in one piece.
Yeah, we're one piece, yeah.
The Null ship passed us about an hour ago.
That is good.
Do you have a smaller craft?
No. If I'm honest. We haven't seen any, apart from the Null ship. They're heading back to New Atlas in the south. We haven't seen anything.
Well, at least it means AJ's not going that direction.
The fuck is AJ? You know, never mind. Don't matter.
But what if boat is not visible?
What do you mean, Ren? Like magic?
Ren is not really knowing magic, but magic is, from what Ren can see, doing many things, like making not visible.
The amount of power you would need to maintain, like, a disguise on a ship, regardless of its size, would kill any normal person.
But it's not impossibility.
He
it's
would.
Not possible, but if he had that amount of power, he could have just snapped and murdered us all on the spot.
He might have had it, but someone else on the ship might have done.
Yeah, but we can't live in what ifs.
That's true.
If you guys wish to sleep after you've been up all night, will happily carry on sailing north. After all, we still got another 5 weeks at sea, yeah.
Casa's already passed out of the deck.
Yeah, you will just hear a thud that makes you jump again as Picasso just hits the deck.
You guys so get the boat twin boys to carry him to his...
I go into my shell. I'm happy. Leave me there.
Picasso
put
just...
Put a shell on his bed.
As things start to settle in and the crew start to go back on, Leonardo goes up to the three of you, because I say the four, but Picasso's asleep now.
Three and a half.
Yeah. Thank you for coming on this mission. It's made all the difference, really. We wouldn't have done it without you. Let my brother know that he's done good. I've got to go catch up with the other ship.
When he wakes up.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you for everything you did as well. Your part in this was not small. Thank you.
No, the Knolls needed it. And I'm glad we could liberate the camp.
You did a great job, and if you ever want to sail with his crew, you're more than welcome in the future.
As much as I appreciate the offer, I think I might pass. I would probably kill my brother if I had to sail with him.
Well, if we're ever near Unork, we'll look for your brothers.
Anyway, enjoy your sleep. I've got a good hour of swimming now. What can I? And with that, he gives you a salute and jumps off the side of the ship and begins to swim at quite a quick pace south, leaving the three and a half of you to on the deck, just as the exhaustion starts to settle in from being up all night.
Bran is having many questions, but maybe they is best saved for when Bran is not needing to sleep.
Indeed. Bran?
Yes?
You were a good captain. I'm proud of you. I'm proud to have you part of my crew.
Bran tried.
You were great. You saved many lives today. Well done.
Bran just kind of flattens her ears at that, and without saying anything else goes down to her little cabin. She puts her new puppy cushion on her bed and hangs up her locket and hat.
Go to bed, Reed.
I will. Alai.
What?
Thank you as well.
Go away.
Reed heads back to his captain quarters and closes the door.
Leaving just you on the deck with a sleeping Picasso. Do you see the morning crew or the day crew are just doing their bits, getting the ship ready to sail, as Bib stands at the wheel, ready to sail if you want him to.
I kind of indicate for him to take over the wheel, and I'm just going to clamber into the crow's nest and think about my life choices.
Yeah. And the ship sails off into the sunrise as you continue north to the Colt's Island. And that's where we'll end.
Thank you to everybody for listening to this episode of Dungeons and Junkies. We'll go around the table now and give our socials. We'll start with Chad.
Oh, I am Chad, and thank you for listening here. If you want to follow me on social media, you can do so at Chaz_mind or at you from top rope. If you want to listen to me, you can listen to Visionaries Global Media. I am all over it on such podcasts as View from the Top Rope, The Chatterbox, So You're So Smart, and this one, of course, Dungeons and Junkies, which we are listening to as we speak.
Indeed. Caitlin.
I have been Caitlin. I am always Caitlin. Caitlin is infinite. Caitlin sometimes writes articles about video games and mental health over on themindgame.org. I also have my campaign of D&D and eventually other tabletop games over there as well. Go look at it, or look at my cats at Caitlin RC. Meow.
Kerry.
I'm Sherry Beans on Twitter. I'm also Kerry. I probably should have said that first. Occasionally I draw things. And when I actually do occasionally draw things, you can find them on the Dungeon Junkies art Instagram, which is just Dungeon Junkies on Instagram. Come on, you're a smart person. You can put two and two together.
Five.
And Alex.
Hi, I'm Alex, and you can find me on Spiderbread UK on Twitter. You can find our main show at Game Junkies Pod, and you can find this ever-growing collection of physical pain, mental trauma, and just ever-growing madness at Dungeon Junkies.
Indeed you can. You can find me at Matt.UK. Thank you again to everybody for listening. Thank you everybody for taking part. I'm Matt.
I'm Alex.
And I'm Kerry.
We were Dungeon Junkies, and we're out of here.
Click, clack, clack.
This podcast was brought to you by me, Alex, in conjunction with Visionaries Global Media at Matt Attack Productions.